Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, right? That's a good place for us to start. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's go to verse number 10. And look at what it says. It says, finally, it says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Thank you, Lord, that you give us, Lord, that you give us revelation and understanding, Lord, that you help us to see what it is, Lord, that you help us to see. Thank you, Jesus. You help us to see. It was just mentioned, Lord, that faith, Lord, is knowing. Lord, so we thank you, my God, that when we have faith, Lord Jesus, that we know what it is to be strong. We have faith, Lord, and we know that you, Lord, are the strength in us, Lord, and that you command us here, Lord, be strong. Be strong. Thank you, Jesus, that you command us, Lord, to be strong. To be strong, Lord, in you. You command us, Lord, be strong in you. So you're telling us, Lord, be strong in me. Be strong in me and in my mighty power. Be strong in me and in my mighty power. Be strong in me and in my mighty power. So you know what? So when you look at that, And you hear the Lord telling you, be strong in me and in the power of my might, right? Be strong in me and in the power of my might. You know, it's an important thing then to know if the Lord is saying be strong, what does it mean to be strong? Because sometimes when something happens in your life, you know, you people that are in the world sometimes think, okay, I just have to be strong. I just have to be strong. When something is occurring in your life and somebody just tells you, you know, something tragic happened and they look to you and they say, you know what, you need to be the strong one. You need to be the strong one. So it's important for us to know that when someone's asking you to be strong or asking you to be strong in them, those are two different things, right? To be strong in the Lord and to be strong in yourself are not the same thing, right? They're two totally, completely separate things. So when the Lord says be strong in the Lord. Now, I just want to give you a good definition for that word, be strong. So when you hear that, you know, Lord, what is it that you're telling me when you tell me be strong? What does it mean when you told Joshua to be strong and to be very courageous, right? To be very strong and to be very courageous. What does it mean when the Lord told him to be strong? And what does it mean to us when the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, he commands us and he says, be strong, right? When you're meditating on the word of the Lord and the Lord speaks to you and he says to you, be strong. What does he mean when he says that? When you hear that, be strong. What is he asking you to do? Because, you know, if you hear the Lord tell you, be strong. Be strong. And what you mean is just like be tougher, like take it more, like, or like just hang in there or whatever it is, you know, what I want, just, it's important to define that in your heart. So when you hear the Lord tell you be strong, or when somebody else tells you to be strong, you can interpret that correctly. Because here's the problem. If you, and I'll show you that obviously from scripture, but if you attempt to be strong yourself, right, to be the strong one in the home, or to be the strong one, that the one that really won't give up, and the one that this, and if you're trying to be the strong one, right, then the problem with that is that leads to disheartening, right? That leads to inevitable failure in your life, right? Because you can't be strong. You can't be strong in and of yourself, right? What the Lord says there, I'll read it to you again. He says in verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's not asking you to be strong in yourself. He's saying to be strong in me, the Lord is saying. Be strong in me. So to be strong is to possess. Well, let's put it just simply, right? To possess strength. Right? To possess strength. To be strong is to possess strength. If you possess strength, you're strong. If you don't possess strength, you're not strong, right? But when the Lord says to be strong in the Lord, He's saying possess my strength. To possess Right? Another word for possess is to take, right? So take my strength. Take my strength. Another word for possessing or taking, right? In the context of what the Lord is teaching us, right? Is he says, put on. Right? Put on my strength, right? Put on my strength or take up my strength. Or bring unto yourself, right? My strength. So it's important what he's saying there, to be strong in the Lord is to possess his strength. Now there was something, that Pastor Mike was praying while we were doing pre-service prayer, and he was talking about taking, right? About seeing the land and taking it, right? Well, what the Lord is saying there, right, is that within you, you have God. It has been given for you to know, right, all of the mysteries of the kingdom that are within you, right? So the Lord has put the kingdom of God within you, right? He's put the kingdom of God within you. So within you, you have the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit of God from where, right? And you have within you the kingdom from where you are from. So you were born of your Father. So you have in you the one that you are from. So, and everything that is of the kingdom, all of the ways of the kingdom, everything that is of the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And it's been given to you to know that, right? Now here's the thing. Let me just tell you this, because when the Lord was speaking to me about this, here's the thing. It's not enough. I mean, you know that the Lord says that when you are weak, then, right, he is strong. But it's not weakness in and of itself, right? Because there's plenty of people that are weak. Plenty of people that are weak. So there's plenty of Christians, right, that believe themselves to be weak, but that doesn't mean that they're strong. So when the Lord says that in our weakness, then he is strong, it doesn't mean that just because you say that you're weak and you can do nothing, that means now that it's the Lord that's strong in you, like just by osmosis that happens. It just, you're weak, he's strong. Boom, boom, that happens, right? But to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right, is to do that. In other words, that is to put on. And that's why he goes on, right, in verse number 11. In verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse number 11, the first two words are what? To put on the whole armor of God. To put on, if someone says that they are weak, right, and they cannot, right, but they don't believe that God in them will and does, then all that they are is that it's not that the weak are strong, is that they're just weak. So weakness in and of itself, the admittance of weakness or the admittance of not being able to or inability or impotence in the life of a person doesn't automatically bring the strength of God. Right? So just us praying and say, oh Lord, I just can't do it, Lord. Well, you know, that's not enough. And to say, Lord, oh, I just can't, Lord, do it. It's just so you do it, Lord. That's not good enough either. Right? Because you have to know what's been given to you. Right? It's not that the Lord has held something from you, and if we whine enough, he gives it to you, right? But it's that you have in you. It's what he's given you. So when the Lord says to put on, it's an acknowledgement of what you possess. An acknowledgement of what you possess. Let me show you something real quick. If we can go to Philemon chapter 1, right? Just a real, real, real popular verse, right? Philemon chapter 1. In verse number 6, right? Philemon chapter 1, verse number 6. And look what it says. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, right? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's an important thing. It's an important thing, right, for us to see that what the Lord has given and the acknowledgement of, right, all that he has given on the inside of you, right? The acknowledgement of he's given, so that the thing that you know, right? In other words, that your faith may become effectual. That with the knowledge that you know of Christ may become operative in you, right? And out of you, your salvation being worked out, right? That which you have on the inside of you becomes operative, right? Within you through the acknowledgement of the fact that you have it, that you possess it. So when Joshua was told to be strong in the Lord, right? It was so that he would be able to go in and possess and take the land. In other words, the land was theirs, but they needed to take that land. And they neglected to take all of the land. Right? They neglected taking all of the land. All of the land was theirs, but they neglected to take all of the land. And people neglect to take what is theirs for many reasons. Fear, unbelief, right? But all of it is just really tracks back just to one thing, which is just lack of hearing, right? Because if they don't hear, they don't know. If they don't hear, they don't have faith. And if they don't have faith, that faith can't become effectual because they can't acknowledge what they have because they don't know what they have, right? So that the communication of your faith may become effectual, right? That the communication of your faith, it says, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. So the reason why you can acknowledge that which you have in you is because if you are a person with faith, knowledge of Christ, right? The knowledge of Christ. If you're a person with the knowledge of Christ, then you know what He's given you, so you can acknowledge what's in you. So whenever you're faced with something, and you know, you already know by faith, by the knowledge of what you know in Christ, that you cannot, but He has already, then you possess the strength of God. You put on Christ. Right? The Bible says, put on Christ. To put on Christ. Here in verse number 11, or Ephesians chapter 6, right? If we go back, he says to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, he says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so that anything that comes from the God of this world, right, you're able to stand, right, without effort of your own, but by the strength of God. So when the Lord tells you to be strong, He's not asking you to just put your chin up, right? He's not asking you to take it strong. He's not asking you to hang in there. He's not asking you to do any of those things. He says, be strong in me. I am the one. I am your strength, right? I am your strength. So you know what? Before we keep going down in verse number 11, let me just show you something here. If we can go to, before we even go there, let me just share this with you real quick. Because something that I was just seeing from just doing praise and worship, things that were coming to my heart, that salvation, right? The salvation that we have on the inside of us. So this is heaven that we're talking about, right? This is the Spirit of God that we have living on the inside of us. So do you see that when he talks about our faith becoming effectual and him being our strength and being strong and all of this, right, that he's talking to us about, is that if you know that you've been saved, right? So is it enough to know that you have been saved in order to just receive everything that salvation has for us, right? It's in other words, it's not enough to just say in your mind and say, okay, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. But not growing in the knowledge of Christ, right? Not growing in the knowledge of Christ. In other words, not beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not beholding the glory that you have on the inside of you. So watch what happens when you behold the Lord, right? And you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? And as you begin to grow in the knowledge of who He is, to see who the Lord is now, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And you see who He has made you. Because He has made us like unto Himself, right? So when you see of how He has made you, and what He has put on the inside of you, the knowledge of what you have in you in Christ, right? The knowledge of what you have in you in Christ gives you, right? The knowledge of what you have in you in Christ is the knowledge of the kingdom, right? So we were just talking about that a second ago, right? To seek first the kingdom of God, and the second part is His righteousness, right? So when you seek the things of the kingdom, is that you know what you have. You are of the kingdom. We are of the kingdom, right? So when you know what you have that is of the kingdom, and then you know your righteousness, you just found out what you have and the right that you have to receive it. Right? Because righteousness is your right. That which is of the kingdom is all that is yours in Christ, right? So that which is of the kingdom is what all that is yours in Christ. And righteousness is what you've been made. In other words, you have been made the righteous of God in Christ, which means you have the right to all that is yours in Him, right? So the reason why obviously righteousness is such a critical thing is because that's the entrance into all that is yours in Christ, right? But if we've never learned of our righteousness, right? If we don't see that we have been made like as unto Him, right? If those are things that we don't see, so salvation in of itself and saying, oh yeah, I'm saved, it's the same thing as being weak, right? You could be a Christian and saved and believe in Jesus and know, right, that if the Lord came back today, you would be caught up with Him. But that in and of itself doesn't automatically mean that when we're weak in our lives, we're able to partake of what He's given us, right? So the salvation on the inside of us, it's also when He says, let work out your own salvation in fear and in trembling, right? That fear and trembling is talking about personal weakness, right? What that's saying is that when I am weak, then am I strong in Him. But that working out your own salvation, the only way that the salvation which is in you is worked outwardly, right? So you are saved. You are an heir of the world, right? You are of the kingdom of God. You have been born of the Spirit. You are a spirit being, and you are not just a mere man. And you have all of these truths that are real of you. For how does that get worked out outwardly, right? By the acknowledging of every good thing that you have in you, and the knowledge of the righteousness of God, which gives you a right to all of those things. And then now you can depend and lean upon the strength of God within you and not lean upon yourself. You can lean on Christ, who is wisdom unto you, and not lean on your own wisdom or on your own understanding, right? So it's just an important thing, because I think sometimes, you know, when we hear that, or when you if you were to read that in your Bible, or if the Lord would bring that verse to your remembrance, you know, that when you are weak, then I'm strong. Just an admittance of weakness is not, right, is not what makes, right? Just an admittance of your weakness is not what makes that which is in you become effectual, right? Just the acknowledgement of weakness does not mean that which is in you, the power of God that is within you, becomes effectual, right? Because you have to acknowledge, right? You have to, it comes by the acknowledging of Him. Now you can say, well, is there a formula then? Do you have to say certain things? Do you have to say, no, Lord, you're my strength and I can't do it? But it's not really like that. It's not really like that. It comes the exact same way that the Lord has been teaching us for many, many months now. It's probably years by this point now, right? How is it that the things that we believe, right? The things. So when you have faith, how does faith come in order so that your faith can become effectual? Where by the same way that the Lord has been teaching us, by the hearing, right? By the hearing. The thing that Joshua had, and when the Lord told him be strong, what He was telling him is, listen to me and hear me. For you to possess, and I'll show you this in a second too. If we can go back again to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Everything that He says there about being strong in the Lord, right? All of it has to do with the hearing. Bless you. All of it has to do with the hearing. So He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take unto you is the same way as saying is put on the whole armor of God. Take unto you, be strong, right? So to be strong is to take unto you, or to put on the strength of God, right? In other words, to receive, to take, to possess. So to be strong is to possess strength. To be strong is to possess strength. So how do you possess strength? If he's not asking you be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord, be strong in me. So He's saying, possess my strength. Possess my strength. So here's what He says. So He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. So in other words, if you take up the whole armor of God, not the armor of men, but the armor that is of God, right? In other words, the strength. Armor meaning the strength or the power that is of God, then He says, then you'll be able to stand. Right? Why? Because it'll be me. It'll be my power that's making you to stand, not you making yourself to stand. Right? So verse number 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. So how do you put on truth? Right? You hear truth. Right? How do you put on truth? How do you take on to yourself truth? You hear truth. That's why we say, right, that our hearts are good soil. Because we do what? We receive the truth. Jesus, when He was talking to the Pharisees, He says, because His truth they would not receive. Right? Because they wouldn't receive that truth, because they would harden their hearts against the truth. Well, here He says, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Now righteousness comes, right, from faith, right? So because faith comes by hearing, Right? Righteous. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, right? Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So he says here, truth he mentioned, that's by hearing. Faith, righteousness, sorry, comes the same way. And your feet shod with the preparation of the what? Of the gospel of peace. How do we receive the gospel of peace? By what? By hearing. The gospel is received, right? By the hearing of faith. Galatians 3, we know, talks about that. The hearing of faith, right? That's how we receive the gospel to begin with, by the hearing of faith. So he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, right, which comes, how does faith come? Faith comes from hearing, right? Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, right? So the helmet of salvation, how was it? Where did your salvation come from? Again, that's Galatians chapter 3 again, right? It came by the hearing of faith. How did you receive the Spirit of God? By the hearing of faith, right? And by that same way is how you live. So if you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith and you were saved, in the same way, right, as you continue to hear, right, if you continue to hear, then it's the sword of the Spirit, right? As you continue to hear, the Lord is the one that enlightens. The Lord is the one that opens up your eyes so that you can see. So all of these things that he says, when he says, be strong in the Lord, what he's talking about is our hearing. In other words, continuing to hear makes you strong. Listen, when I think about... what is it that we're doing here? Right? But I mean, what are we doing here? At 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. What are we doing here? Right? Well, the reason why the Lord has us here is because we hear. The reason why the Lord has us here is because we hear. And because there are many people that don't hear. Right? There are people, and it's not just, in other words, the way people hear through people like us that do hear, it's not just because you invite them to church and that's an awesome thing to do, right? To bring someone so that they can continue to hear and be discipled. But people hear also because you believe and therefore you speak also, right? Because you believe and therefore you speak, right? Just as the apostle said, so we believe and therefore we speak, right? So he says, in verse number 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it's good to know, right, that we are of those that know and acknowledge the presence of the Word of God on the inside of us, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word that became flesh is that Word that lives on the inside of us, right, by His Spirit. That's a good thing to know. So if we can go from here, let me show you something real quick here. Let's show you. In Galatians chapter 4, let me show you. Galatians chapter 4, in verse number 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6. You know what it's talking about here also. Might as well go to 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. So this is something important, right? I mean, it's all good, but so the Lord has made us heirs with Him, right? Heirs with Him. So what He continues to encourage us in, right, is to take that which has been given to us, right? So if you think about it, there is nothing that you just receive by osmosis because you have Jesus in you. There's nothing you receive just by osmosis. In other words, what I mean by that is, there is nothing that you will ever get that you have received in Christ if you just say, you know what, I just... knowledge of God, it's really not important. Just coast, just stay here. Blank, filled with the garbage in your mind from the things of this world. And it's just knowing, you know, that one day 3 years ago, you said Jesus is Lord and, you know, I'm going to heaven. That just because of that, right, that now anything that is in you in Christ, you don't have to just concern yourself. It's just going to come out. Everything's just going to come out, you know, and the Lord is just going to be your hero and your genie and it just all occurs, right? But everything that is in you, in other words, he says that all that pertains to life and godliness has been given to you already. Just think about that for a second. All that pertains to this entirety of this life, to all life and all godliness has already been given to you in Christ. But that it comes to you, or that you put it on, or that you take it, or that you possess, right? Or that you become strong. How do you become strong in all that's been given to you? How do you become strong as an heir? Because there are many that are heirs, right? Heirs of everything. In other words, there are many that are heirs of the world that because of them being children in their understanding, live as servants. That's an important thing to see, right? That you could be heir of the world and live as a servant. Right? So why? Because just because you are an heir of the world doesn't mean that you know you're an heir of the world. Right? It doesn't mean that you have faith that you're an heir of the world. It doesn't mean that you have knowledge that you are heir of the world. Just because the Lord has already healed you by His stripes, it doesn't mean that you know that you're healed. Right? Just because you know, right, that all of the things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to you in Christ, right, it doesn't mean that people do that. So in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Right? That it's that the heir, in other words, you can be an heir of the world, but if you're a child in your understanding, you differ. In other words, there is no difference between a servant and you. And a servant meaning a slave of this world. One who is enslaved to the ways, right, and to the elements that are in this world. Because you are above death and above corruption, but live as a servant to corruption, even though you are above corruption. And what's the only thing that's missing, right? That you would be taught it and that then you would hear it. So the awesome thing about you is the fact that listen, the Lord rejoices. It's awesome that, you know, and the Lord was showing me this too, that He rejoices to see you turn aside. He rejoices to see you turn aside. See, the thing with Moses was just walking along, right? Shepherding his father's sheep. And then what happened? He saw something and he turned aside. He turned aside to see. And that critical thing that he did, that turning aside to see, changed the entirety of the course of his life, changed everything. From that day forward, nothing was the same anymore. And all that man did was turn aside to see. Turn aside to see, right? So you know, it's not just that we can just keep going in the direction that we're going, and you know, don't worry about it because God is good, and we can just sing hip hip hooray and sing cool songs, and it's just everything's going to work out good. It's just that you have to know the Lord wants you to grow in the knowledge of who He is and what you have, so you will take and possess the things that are of heaven here now. Of heaven here now. Why? Because heaven is here and you can receive it and you can take it. But He rejoices, watch. He rejoices to see you turn aside to see. So if you're looking right and left and have been looking right and left because things have been happening and whatever, stuff's crazy and whatever, life happens, right? And then you take and you turn aside from the things of this world and you say, no, Lord. No, I'm not gonna look at these things. I'm gonna set my heart and fix my heart on you. And I want you to teach me and show me, Lord, the things that you want me to see, because no one is a master, right, at showing you the things that you need to see like Jesus does, right? So you turn aside. You turn aside from the things from the right and to the left, and you fix your heart on Him, and you say, Lord, I desire to hear what you have to say to me. And then the things that He speaks to you from that, see, He delighted in just that you turned aside. You don't know everything. You don't know everything. People don't know everything. They're not perfect in all of their ways externally. They don't do things perfectly. None of those things. See, you don't dishearten yourself because of the things that happen in your life that are imperfect. But just rejoice in the fact that every single time you just come back and turn aside. You turn aside and you come back again to continually hear him, right? Just turn aside again to continually hear him. And here's what he says. He said that the heir, as long, in verse number one, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing, it says, from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though he's Lord of all, if he does not hear, he's a child, therefore he's nothing different from a servant. But, thank God there's a but. In verse number two, right? It says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, it says, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, so this is talking about now you receive salvation, and it's saying now because you're a son, what's the deal now? I'm a son. I'm not a servant. I'm a son now. Right? In other words, right, I used to be a prodigal, right? Right? I used to walk my own way, do my own thing. Then salvation came, I accepted the Lord. I received the ring, I received the robe, and I received sandals upon my feet, right? I am a son. I am a son. He told even to the son that had not left him, he said, everything that I have has always been yours. What are you complaining about, right? So a son lives in the home. A son lives in the house. A son has access to all that's in the home, right? A son has access to everything that is of the Father. That's the access that the Lord has given you. And by the righteousness, right, that he has given you, you have the right to receive it, right? People have a hard time taking the things, right? Well, you don't want to be greedy. Listen, taking the things that God has given you. Take what he has given. What has he given you? Everything. Everything. Everything in Christ. There is nothing that you lack. There is nothing that you need. You have all things in him for life and for godliness, and you can receive them through the knowledge of Christ. Because you will receive and take, right, what you know by faith. Right? In other words, the things that the Lord teaches you, that you have in you, even though you don't see them, right? But the things that you know by faith, that you understand have been given to you, you will receive and you will take those things. So here's what he says. So he says, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Abba Father. So he has sent forth his Spirit into you, right, and into your hearts, right, to give you and put this thought in your mind. Daddy God. Daddy, right? You have a daddy. I get this whole social thing that people say, right? That the majority of the prisoners, that whatever, that are males, is because they don't have a daddy and the daddy was not there to influence them. And I get that. But you know what? For a person who is a Christian, that person lacks nothing. They can have an absentee father, an absentee mother, an absentee grandmother, and the whole family's absent. Nobody loves them, and they can still live victorious lives in Jesus. Without the support of no human being on this earth, and nobody being by them, the Lord can sustain that man and that person, right? So it's not true that any Christian is at a disadvantage the way the world lives disadvantaged, right? We are not disadvantaged. We're not disadvantaged. That's just good to know. But you know, just because this whole mentality, right? Like, nowadays people feel compelled to tell you, I'm a single mother. Why are you telling me that? You're a single mother. So you're telling me what? That you don't have a husband? Or that your husband left you and that... But why are you telling me that? That you're a single mother? You want me to feel pity for you? That there is something that you don't have and something that you need help with? Right? Why do people have to know? Why do you have to make people aware that you are a single parent? Right? Because you want people to feel and to know and to feel in their bones that you're disadvantaged so that they can come help you. Right? But you know what? If there was anything that you needed, right? And you needed an individual to come physically and help you, right? Why can't we believe that the Lord would bring? And not just for single mothers, right? I'm not a single parent, and I could be home struggling with something and need somebody to come help me, and the Lord just brings somebody along to help me do it, right? But so it's not that. It's not the point that the Lord won't bring a person alongside of you to help you, or that you don't need the help of human beings, that you can just live by yourself on a mountain. The idea, though, is that you have the Lord, and that the Lord knows what you need before you ask him, right? That you can be strong. That you can be strong. That you can be strong even if your husband leaves you. That you can be strong even if your wife cheated on you. That you can be strong even though you got no friends at school. That you can be strong even if you're homeschooled, right? And you got no gym class, right? That you can be strong no matter where you are. It doesn't matter. You can be strong and be outstanding. The Lord live outstanding in your life regardless of what the circumstances. It doesn't matter. Regardless of the economic situation of your family, you will succeed in life with the Lord. You will succeed in life, even if you don't get a college education, you will succeed in life with the Lord, right? I know that's not what the world says, right? The world says if you don't go to college, you're going to fail, right? But that's not exactly true, right? That's not exactly true at all. So he says then, let's keep going here. So he says, so we read in verse number 6, he says that we are sons, and if we are sons, he said he has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Look at verse number 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if you are a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir of God. So to be an heir of God is to have access to that which is God's, right? To be an heir of God is that you inherit, you've inherited the things that are of God. Thank God for the inheritance that we have on the inside of us, right? That we have access to the things that we have inherited. We're not going to become inheritors, right? We are already joint heirs with Christ. You already have your inheritance. You're not going to get your inheritance. You already have your inheritance, right? And you can receive from that which is already yours, right? Already receive from that which is already yours. Isn't it interesting that the prodigal son, when you read that, right? That the father is not dead yet. And he gives all the money to his son. He says, there's your portion, go. Gives it all to him, right? But doesn't that really happen after you die? That he gets your money? How do you, you know, I mean, if I was there, and this was a real life situation where that was the father and that was really my son, and he wants my inheritance, well, you're going to have to wait till I die, and then I'll give it to you. Right? But that's not the way it played out, right? He received it then. And he went out and spent it. And he came back then, received salvation, right? Received salvation when he returned and came to his father. And he wanted to become a servant in the house of his father. Because he said, even a servant lives better than I am out here, right? But the Lord didn't make him a servant, did he? He was made a son then. When he came back, he was made a son. And nothing that he had taken and spent made any difference to what he received when he came back. He still had access to all that belonged to the Father. So it's just good for us to know the things that we have, right? The things that we have in Christ. It's good to know the things that we have in Christ and the fact that he tells us that we can be strong. So he says, howbeit then, it says, and in verse number 8, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known by of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? So what he's saying there is, you know, you turned aside from the things of this world, and from the things that put you in bondage initially, and you received salvation which made you free, and you're an heir and you're a son. He says, how be it now that you turn back to the same ways of thinking and doing, right, that you were in bondage to at the beginning, right? Because before you were saved, who could you depend on? You. And if you were lucky enough for anybody else to want to help you. And if you depended on them too long, they'll get sick and tired of helping you too, right? Because you can only depend on people so long, because they're going to get tired of you asking them, right? Because you know what that feels like, right? Because you can ask someone for help, and then you can ask them again. Ask him again. And by the fourth time, you know what? You don't even want to ask him. They haven't even told you nothing, and you don't even want to ask him anymore. You know why? Because they don't want to help you no more. That's it. That's done. But how awesome is it that that's not how it is with the fountain that you have in you, right? You can receive and continue to take, and the more wisdom that you need, and you come to the Father to know him more, and he gives you more, and he never ever reproaches you asking him, and you come and you ask, and you want to grow in the knowledge of God some more, and you receive some more. Strong, you can be strong. Strong, you can be strong. Right? Possessing that which is of God. How do you possess that which is of God? By the hearing of faith. How is anything done in our lives? By the hearing of faith. How is anything done in our lives? By the hearing of faith. Is the not knowing that you're a son, not knowing that you're an heir, not knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, not knowing all these things is what keeps people from possessing what is already theirs, you know? I mean, years and years ago, the Lord began to give the church that revelation, and I don't think he began to do it, but people started to see it, right? That, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things, and you've heard it before if you've been in church for any length of time, how many things can you do? All things, right? But what does that mean? You can do all things. Everything you can do. You can be strong in any situation. How? Possessing the strength that is of God is not of yourself. Possessing the strength that is of God and not of yourself. How awesome. How awesome would it be if you not only acknowledge and knew, Lord, I cannot do anything without you. And you see the weakness that there is in John 15 that says, Lord, I'm a branch. I can't do anything, Lord. I mean, Lord, if I'm a branch without a vine, I can't do a thing. But I am the vine. I am the branches, Lord, and you are the vine. So therefore, because I am the branch and you are the vine, all I have to do is abide. And you know what you do? You reap all of the benefit, all of the benefits of the vine. And all that you're doing is continuing. That's all, people, that you're doing. To be strong and in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be strong in the Lord. Let me give you this verse and I'll close here. Let me give you this verse. I'll close here. Okay, I'll quote one and then give you one. Right. So 2 Timothy is where we're going. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. But let me just quote this verse to you, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." You know what the Lord says? So remember that verse, right? My grace is sufficient for you. Because people kill that verse, right? They kill it. They say that, you know, that Paul, that the apostle came to the Lord with a problem. And then the Lord responded to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And that what that means is, basically, stay with your problem, be happy, shut up and sit down. That's what that means. That my grace is sufficient. So what happened to sufficient? Because I came to God with a problem, and I prayed the Lord would take it 3 times from me, and the Lord says that something is sufficient for me. In other words, that it's more than enough for what I'm going through. My grace is sufficient for you. But let me help you answer the question of that verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in you in Christ Jesus. Right? Be strong in the grace. How can you be strong in the grace that is in you in Christ Jesus? So be strong in the grace that is in you in Christ, right? Be strong in the grace that is in you in Christ. So how can you be strong in the grace that's in you in Christ, right? Because everything that has been given to you freely is what? Grace, right? Everything that has been given to you freely, without you earning it, the power of God that lives on the inside of you, everything that pertains to life and to godliness that has been put on the inside of you, is in you by the grace of God. Right? So when he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, and he says to be strong in the grace that is in you, how are you strong? Think about this real quick, right? How can you be strong in that which is freely given to you? How can you be strong in that which is freely given to you? What does it mean to be strong? To be strong is to take, right? It's to take that which has been given to you, right? To be strong is to take the strength. To be strong in the grace that is in you. How are you strong in grace? Grace is what's freely given to you. To be strong in it is to receive, to take then what has been freely given you. If the Lord has freely given you, put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. Take unto yourself all that is yours, right? Possess it. Take it. What did they have to do? He said, be strong, be very strong, and be very courageous. And the Lord told Joshua, because all of this land I have given to you already. So what do you think would have happened? And he would have said, "Oh, awesome. Yeah, all the land has been given to us already, so we're going to stay here on this side of Jericho, and it's ours. All right. So we're just going to stay here, though, because it's already ours, right? I mean, if the Lord gave it to you, you might as well sit here and wait till He drops it on your lap, right? Just let Him bring Jericho to you, right? Let Him bring the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, right? And the Jebusites, let Him bring the land to you. But what did they have to do? They had to go in and take what was theirs. They had to go in and take what was theirs. Where is the Lord telling us? Hear and listen. Hear. And if you hear and you believe, right, what the Lord says, and you continue, just abide in the Lord, you know what will happen? All that is of the vine, all that is of heaven, you can receive and take that because you will have faith in believing what you have, what you possess in Christ, right? So it's just, you know, another thing that the Lord, and He's so good, and there's so much more. There's so much more that I can share with you, but we'll stop right there. But it's good. He says that we have already put on the new man, right? He says that we have already put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You have already put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So you know what that means? You've already received and you have been made a new creation, right? But the new creation that you are is not effectual in your life until your mind is renewed to the new man that you are, right? So as your mind is renewed to the new man that you are, what happens? You begin to live like a new man. You begin to live not like a servant, but you begin to live like a son. You don't live like a servant, you live like a son. You know what? One of the most awesome things, especially about you that are here, you know what it is? That I believe in my heart that the majority of everybody that's already here, right? That you the one thing that you've done already is that you've turned aside. You've turned aside, Lord, and you said, you know what, Lord, the things that I want to hear are the things that you're saying. And I have turned aside from this world, right? Because this world is trying to encourage you to be strong in yourself, to be satisfied with yourself. to believe in self-power and self-inner strength and self-this. And so the world is trying to make you more selfish than anything so you can learn to depend on yourself, right, and not on anybody else. For you to be your own woman, for you to be your own man, for you to be your own person, for you to just love yourself the way you are. And if you're overweight, you love yourself like that. If you're skinny, you love yourself like that. And everybody says that God loves you just the way He made you. And everybody thinks that God made you be overweight. But that's not true, right? None of those things. When the Lord talks about He made us, right? He made us a new creation. He made us new. So we have put on the new man. And the truth is that in every area of your life, whether it be weight or everything else, right? Whether it be temperance, whether it be controlling things, whether it be whatever it be in your life, right? Whatever it is, whatever the issue is, whether it's mental anguish, whether it's thoughts of failure, whatever it is, whether it's depressing thoughts, sad thoughts, things that you continually over and over again rehearse things that are negative, right? And your mind is affected by those things. All of those things, right? All of those things in your life can be silenced, but only one way though. It's just being strong in Him and in the power of His might, right? So Father, we come and we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for people, Lord, at every single age bracket here that are here tonight, Lord. People that see, my God, that they are not trying to be strong in and of themselves, and that there is never a time where You have ever told us, just You be strong in Yourself. Just You be strong. But You have encouraged us time and time again, be strong in Me. Be strong in Me and in the power of My might. Father, where is Your might? And where is Your exceeding great power? On the inside of us, Lord, and it is toward us who believe. Toward those, Lord, that have faith in the things that You say. Toward us, those that hear and believe. Lord, I thank You, my God. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that there is a thing, Lord, that You're showing us today, Lord. And it just feels, Lord, like it's just been a recent thing. A recent thing that in the hearts, Lord, that in the hearts of Your people, Father, they have, Lord, turned aside. They have turned aside. And maybe for a long time, just recently, Lord, they were just thinking the world's ways and full of the thoughts of this world and didn't seem to be able to try to get a handle on things, Lord. And then all that they did right is that they turned aside. They just turned their heart aside to You. And they said, Lord, I want to hear. You've made me a son, Lord, and I don't want to live like a servant. You have made me a son, and I want to live as a son. And I want to take advantage, Lord, of all that You have given me, Lord Jesus. For You died and You suffered to give me all of this, Lord, and it was not in vain. So I thank You, Jesus, for all that You've given us through the cross. That it was not in vain. Thank You, Jesus, that all that You did through the cross. Thank You, Lord, that it was not in vain, Lord. Hallelujah. That it was not in vain. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. All that You have provided to us, Lord, through the cross. Thank You, Jesus. All that You paid, Lord, it was not in vain. Father, the stripes, we were, Your word declares, Father, that by Your stripes we were healed, Lord. That was not in vain. You have given us all, Lord, that pertains to godliness in our lives. So You've given us the power to godliness on the inside of us. That's not in vain. Lord, all that is in us right now, on the inside of us, thank You, Lord, that is not in vain, but that You rejoice to see them just turn aside. You rejoice, Father. You rejoice to see the work begin. You rejoice to see it begin. How does it all begin? The same way it began. By the hearing of faith. Thank You, Lord, for people that have turned aside to the hearing of faith. Thank You, Jesus, for people that have turned aside. For people that have turned aside. Thank You, my God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, that You speak to each and every single one of us, Lord, and You tell us, Lord, that we can, Lord, be strong and stronger in You. Lord, and we sang today that You are my strength. And Your strength is like the strength of no other on the inside of me. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. It reached us, Lord, from heaven. Strength like no other in this world. Greater strength than anything in this world has reached us already and is here on the inside of us. strength like no other. Strength like no other. Thank you, Lord. If you know, if that's you, and I know that all of us, when we hear things like this, Lord, all of us, Lord, we all the more turn aside, Lord, to hear you and rejoice in the hearing of faith. Rejoice in hearing and listening to you. Father, not trying to do a work and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to listen better this year, but just, Lord, just turning aside to you, to the ease, to the only one that makes life easy and light, to the one, Lord, that has labored, to the one that has worked, to the one that has labored and finished everything, to you, Jesus, you are the one that we turn to. Because we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you were in Christ, reconciling the world to yourself. Reconciling the world to yourself. What a shame it is, Lord, that you reconciled the world to yourself, and the world does not receive the reconciliation. But I thank you, Father, for people here that are hearing and that are learning that they have been given the task of reconciliation. And as they are growing deep, Lord, in the knowledge of Christ, the time will come, Lord, where you will open up their mouth and you will send them and you will tell them, Lord, to begin to speak. And we thank you, Jesus, that they will speak, Lord, from a mouth, Lord, that has been filled by you. Words, Lord, they won't feel pressured to have to go and speak to others about you. But my God, they will be compelled from within, Lord Jesus, and have a burning desire to speak, Lord, the things that you have given them to speak. Thank you, Lord, that time comes. But Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are having us, Lord, to listen and to hear and to learn you, Lord. So that our minds can be renewed, my Lord, and then the things that we say, Lord, will be said by you and would be said for your glory, Lord. We thank you, my God. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for giving us ears to hear. And thank you, Lord, that not only have you given us ears to hear, but then we are hearing. Because you've said it so many times before. He who has an ear to hear. He who has ears to hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. There are some, Lord, with ears to hear, Lord, that don't hear. But thank you, my God, that today we have not hardened our hearts. But we have turned aside, and we thank you, Jesus. Oh, he rejoices to see you just turn aside. Turn your heart aside from the things that you thought you were so certain of because you had heard them in the world. And now the Lord is teaching you new things. And you have turned aside, and you're saying, Lord, I don't know the answers, and I don't understand it all, but I want to hear. What a good thing. What a good thing, Lord Jesus. What a good thing to see people turn their heart aside to you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we thank you, my God, that you are our strength. Strength like no other and with no comparison in all this world. And we thank you, Jesus, that we will be strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.